You're listening to the Startup Growth Engine. This is a show for small business owners and startup execs looking to hear best practices around profitability, growth, managing a tight budget, developing a tax strategy, turning the corner with a startup, and more. Listen to hear honest conversations with startup experts who've been through it all with a success story to show for it. Let's get into the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Startup Growth Engine, a podcast that speaks to the best and brightest from the startup world. I'm your co-host, Jeff Benchek from Layton, and I'm delighted to have our special guest, Tori Smith, CEO and co-founder from Endiotics. Tori, welcome to the Startup Growth Studio.
Thank you so much for having me. Like any medical device, we have to have a weird name. Endiotics just means endoscopy, diagnostics, and treatment. We want to go inside the human body and do things using tiny robot pills.
Awesome, Tori. Tell us a little bit about this fascinating company, Endiotics, and this super cool product, PillBot.
Sure. Well, Endiotics is a company intended to basically try to break through the barriers of how we get into the human body to do things. Our goal is basically to bring in the era of micro-robotics inside the human body. We'd like to chase our dreams of science fiction, right? Everyone's heard about nanobots and all that good stuff. Let's get started. And so we're not really going nano at first. We're really just trying to show that you can put a small robotic capsule into, say, the human stomach and start moving it around under remote control and maybe even do that outside of a hospital setting. So you really open up some telemedicine. So kind of like the ultimate telemedicine would be our goal. You know, people have been swallowing pill cameras for 25 years now. With Endiotics, our goal is just to basically take the next step, right? Let's make those pill cameras turn into a moving motion platform from which you can do other things, active diagnostics, maybe even microsurgery. And we should give a nod to a company called Onx Robotica coming out of China and their product NaviCam, which is actually now FDA approved. They're actually moving pill cameras around inside the stomach using external magnetic fields. With us, we sort of put the motion system on the robot itself, so you wouldn't have to be in a hospital setting or in a clinic. You could be anywhere on the planet or maybe even off the planet.
Tori, what was the catalyst for the founding of the company?
Honestly, as a kid, I just read lots of science fiction and saw lots of science fiction in movies. And, you know, I mentioned nanorobotics. It seems like you couldn't open a sci-fi book without seeing the astronauts having all of their health monitored by tiny molecular machines. And things started to hit home for me on a personal level when, you know, as I got older, I started to see friends and family getting sick, some of them dying with cancers and other illnesses. And I just asked myself, you know, where are those micro robots that we always read about? You know, you hear about it in the news, but when you get sick or when your loved one gets sick, the standard of care certainly doesn't have those waiting to go save you. And so Endiotics is an attempt to sort of drag medical technology into the 21st century and go after some of that science fiction we all read about.
Wow. So comic books and science fiction, are you a Star Wars or a Star Trek guy?
That's a really good question. I think that Star Trek Next Generation, definitely something I stick to a lot. But the sheer wonder of an excitement of the space opera that was, you know, the original Star Wars has forever affected me. The emotions I feel when the X-Wings are diving into the Death Star to go through that trench still gets me on a very visceral level.
Tori, you've made so much progress as a company. What were some of the biggest challenges that you faced that might be of interest to our startup listeners?
Sure. Maybe the biggest one was just realizing that, you know, you need to start somewhere as a founder, right? You need to be able to show something tangible to stakeholders, people who might invest in you or people who might join your company, join your team. And the biggest challenge was just taking the first step. So this is where Endiotics is extremely grateful to have been shepherded into incorporation and founding and raising money with the help of accelerators like Founder Institute and our amazing partners over at Perkins Coie doing corporate and IP law. You know, basically asking for help in getting started and don't wait so long to start with those ideas.
It was interesting. In our previous conversation, you had mentioned that don't be afraid. don't be shy to think big. And what a great example, someone coming from a fantasy world as a kid and now bringing an idea that has innovation and R&D splattered all over it, which is a great segue to my next question, which is, how do you instill that culture of innovation at NDotix?
Part of it is just you put your robot where your mouth is. We've always been very clear that we didn't want to put robots in other people's bodies if we hadn't done it ourselves, right? So for example, on the founding team, I think we're up to something like 24 robots that members of the founding team have actually put through their own bodies. And that's been a very effective tool with fundraising. But I think it also kind of shows new people who are joining the company that the founders really are serious to this and committed to this dream. You know, we're willing to put our own skin in the game, so to speak.
Corey, as it relates to innovation, where is the current status of PillBot and where do you see the future going with it? Where can you take it? Where do you want to take it?
Right. Well, so like we said, you know, we started humble. This was Raspberry Pi hardware. Moved into our first custom electronics. This didn't raise very much money at all. You can see the JB Weld and BBs. Things started to get exciting as we entered the thumb size. And then finally, this is our current state of the art. PillBot is now a swallowable capsule that has many little electric motors and propellers, so it can move in a three-dimensional environment, like your stomach, as long as you drink some water, maybe skip breakfast. The current status of PillBot is that it's real in every way, but also that it's imperfect in every way. PillBot today needs to improve in every way before it's ready for market. So right now, if I show you videos of PillBot swimming in my stomach, the video quality is not very good. It's not a very satisfying video game to play. But over the next month and a half to 3 months, I actually expect the tech stack, as it were, to get clinically relevant. So this is a very exciting time to be at NDotix.
You had mentioned to me that you took a unique approach to funding. Where did you start in trying to get funding and where are you now with funding?
Sure. Well, this is advice to any founder. If you're going to be fundraising, start fundraising very early and continuously. You have maybe a 1% hit rate when you're fundraising. So any given lead you explore might 1% of the time yield a check. So that means you need to be going after hundreds of leads. So our pursuit of funding has taken us all over the place. We have investors from Israel, from Canada. Perhaps our most exciting pitch was jumping on a Volaris flight and flying down to Guanajuato, to the city of León, where we pitched Lantana Biosoft in Spanish. They've become, up till now, I think our second biggest investor. So really, it's an eclectic group of very interested people from all over the world that have made this possible.
I know you're a San Francisco-based company. Do you see the product having global reach beyond solely North America?
We see this product having reach beyond the globe itself, right? In simple terms, this minimum viable product that we're seeking to create, PillBot, can be thought of as a moving eyeball in the stomach. And people get belly aches and ulcers and lesions and even scary things like stomach cancer, which can be a real killer when you find it late, all around the world. Doesn't really matter where you're from. There are certainly regional demographics where you have more or less of these illnesses. But the bottom line is, we would like to be a mass market screening tool to make it much easier for the typical patient in the upper GI space to just get a doctor in there to have a look around. From there, we can hand them off to much more complicated procedures and tools.
So you potentially see it as an interim step before having to have more extensive conversations, maybe in an office or from an operating room perspective.
Let's look at sort of the gold standard, which would be the upper endoscopy. Most patients in the U.S. would get sedated for that. There's some transnasal sedation-free scopes being developed right now that are very exciting. But the bottom line is, if you need someone to physically look inside your body, it's going to be done at a clinic right now. And because of that, there's a fair amount of gatekeeping associated with the costs and then even the risks associated with putting these tubes in the body. And so when you add that all up to the standard of care, it means if you have a bellyache and you really feel like someone needs to have a look inside you, it might take you multiple visits to the hospital and multiple calls to the doctor, you know, be many months before you ever get that endoscopy. So our question is, what if we could draw a circle around that entire experience and turn it into a Zoom call for the majority of patients? I think that would be pretty cool. So that's where we're targeting.
Tori, I'm sure since you sort of straddle the medical device and the robotics space, you speak to a lot of people in the startup world within those segments. How's everybody feeling coming out of the pandemic from an innovation and a growth perspective?
We in particular were benefited by the pandemic in terms of our value proposition. The value of telemedicine became very clear because of COVID. We never intended to found a COVID company because, you know, COVID will pass. But the pandemic also did other things for founders. It drove home the value of Zoom, right? So now a founder is encouraged to seek out investors outside of their own region just because COVID forced us to be on Zoom calls. It kind of evaporated some of the fundraising barriers. With that said, COVID was terribly depressing to anyone who likes to make stuff physically because it meant we couldn't have our maker space where we all build stuff together. We had to be remote. And that was definitely difficult to do physical engineering in a remote setting.
My personal opinion is that coming out of all this, people have been cooped up in their offices at home or on Zoom calls. I expect to see an explosion of innovation coming from people who've just had time to think and clear their head. And I think we're going to see some amazing products and ideas coming out of this.
Well, you know, what we did over COVID was we just started swallowing robots in my living room. If you had seen my living room during the height of COVID, it was like you'd be tripping over oscilloscopes and 3D printers and soldering stations and laptops and robots in every state of disassembly. We managed to keep the fires burning, but recently moved into a big facility in Hayward, right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And all I can tell you is after a week and a half in the new facility, it's like night and day. I mean, we're running at light speed over here.
As CEO and co-founder, you have to manage many things, one of them being run rates in your business, in your funding. What types of tax strategies have you explored or looked at as part of your overall corporate strategy?
Sure. The question is very poignant because I'm getting repeated pings from our payroll software. We use a program called Gusto. They're quick and easy. But they keep telling us that we are probably capable of qualifying for some pretty substantial tax credits. But we have so few headcount here doing financial stuff that we haven't really had the bandwidth to go get some of those tax credits and really explore if they would make sense. So actually right now we're looking to see if anyone can maybe help us understand, you know, do we benefit from any of the programs? Because as we all saw during COVID, there was a lot of government support of up-and-coming companies if you're able to actually go engage it.
Yeah, Tori, it's a big part of what we are learning as well is that there is so much innovation happening out there. People are so busy, they're so time-pressed that they don't have the time, money, or resources to realize that these types of programs exist from the government. So I think that's an interesting message that you recommend or offer to our listeners. Tori, if there were any words of wisdom that you'd like to leave for the folks who are listening on the podcast as a startup CEO in the medical device and robotics space, what would you say to them?
Well, you know, I call myself a lowercase CEO, right? You know, it's a small building. You know, we've raised a couple million bucks. That was a lot to us at one point. Now we're realizing how small we really are. So my advice to young new founders is basically just to understand that if you're willing to rip the Band-Aid off, which is your old life, right, which is very scary, if you're willing to quit your job and you only have maybe a month or two or three of rent spoken for, then that's probably the right person to start a company. You need to make yourself dangerous. You need to be willing to take on existential fears. Like when you start a company, you should never feel comfortable and prepared. Because if you feel comfortable and prepared, you're probably about 5 to 10 years too late. You need to start a company the instant the opportunity is there in any way. It's going to be savage, you're going to be terrified, but you're probably starting it in a time frame where you might have actually a chance to create something relevant to the world, right? Because I wouldn't want to create a more efficient steam engine right now. that's about 120 years too late. We need to be much more ambitious. And if you're going to start an idea, remember, if it's crazy enough and inspiring enough and differentiated enough, people will come from all over the world to help join you in this quest, right? So aim big, do big, exciting things, and understand there's a founder network of people that want to meet you and help get you funded and be there for you.
Forry, how can people learn more about NDAddicts? And also, how can they reach out to you on social if they'd like to ask you a question or speak to you?
Yeah, NDAddicts.com is a simple website, but it's got a info@NDAddicts.com. It's a great way to reach out to us. And then just LinkedIn. LinkedIn has been sort of my personal home and my personal family, especially during COVID, because on LinkedIn, everyone's there to build something and to collaborate. There's a sense that we're all trying to work together towards some common goal. So hit me up on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear your company idea. I'd love to see what I can do to help. And I'll just say that I've maybe had it with incremental no-code software or apps that aren't really adding anything to the landscape. Like, if you're just trying to take two playing cards that already exist and combine them in a way that maybe someone hasn't done before, please do not reach out to me. But if you want to make something crazy that's never existed before and you want to be friends with people that's all they do, you should definitely reach out to me and my extended network, because we're open to meeting you and we want to make you succeed.
Yeah, so for our listeners, that's Torrey with Torrey. And Smith doesn't get much easier than that as a last name. So, Torrey, I want to thank you so much for being on the Startup Growth Engine. I really think that our listeners can learn and value from the conversation that we've had and also the experience that you've went through. And we definitely wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. It was a real pleasure to be here.
So that's it from the Startup Growth Engine, the podcast that meets with and speaks to the best and brightest in the startup world. I'm your host, Jeff Benchek from Layton, and we look forward to hearing a new speaker next week from the startup world within the Startup Growth Engine. Until then, see ya.
Rev works with thousands of businesses each year to maximize financial benefits from R&D tax credits, employee retention credits, and other tax incentives. In the past year, we've helped our clients claim more than $500 million in tax relief to support their future growth. For more information, visit rev.layton.com. You've been listening to the Startup Growth Engine. Keep connected with us by subscribing to our show in your favorite podcast player. If you like what you've heard, please rate the show. That helps us to deliver business tips and best practices from startup experts. Thanks for listening. Until next time.